Jesus is in Jerusalem, and he's in there with his disciples. They're preparing for Passover. And as was his custom, he went to the temple, and he taught, and then he took his disciples aside, and they do this. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 12th chapter. As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogue and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God and from Jesus Christ, our Lord, whose image is before us. I was shaving this morning, and about halfway through, I was surprised at the image in the mirror. I stopped, and I looked closer. I'd seen that image before. As I stared, I suddenly exclaimed, "Dad?" The image looking back at me was my own, half covered in lather. It hit me that I had never really seen myself before as others must see me. That evening, as I watched television, I saw an ad that portrayed a man with graying hair looking into a mirror. The narrator asks, "Are you ready to see yourself as others see you?" Deja vu. The man then says, "I didn't know I was so gray." The ad continues with the man using a product called Rejuvenator. Instantly, his image changes to a younger looking man. I got to get me some of that. Commentators on today's culture say we are obsessed with image and money. I wonder if obsessed is a fair description. Some are obsessed, to be sure, but how about us? How about all who are faithful in worship and who try so hard to do the right things? It is hard not to worry about money. An image does have some importance in our culture. But is it fair to say we're obsessed? The gospel lesson for today has some relevance in this discussion. It's good to remember that Jesus had an ongoing tension with the scribes and the Pharisees, and the gospel is so graphic. It's easy to imagine those pompous rascals parading around in their robes. Don't look. Sticking out their chests, stroking their beards, and acting important. Jesus felt they were all show and no substance. Perhaps you know someone like that, someone who's so snooty, so filled with self-importance, so sure of themselves, and such poor excuses for faithful people. Perhaps you know of someone who struts around, has a know-it-all attitude, and who constantly makes negative judgments on others. There's a sense of satisfaction to know that Jesus leveled the people who acted like that. How can we not like that? The good news here is that what others think of us is not at all as important as what God thinks of us. Jesus is telling us that the people who think they are the ultimate authorities on everything really aren't much more than hot air. Don't worry about them. Let our guide be what we know that God would like to have us be and do. Let's look at this a little more closely. We all know, I hope, that the world is more than a bit out of balance. Teachers, nurses, nurses' aides, social service professionals, and others in the service field, soldiers, are underappreciated and undervalued, even though they provide the glue that holds people together. At the same time, those in the entertainment arena, who often undermine core values, are idolized and paid huge amounts of money. Sammy Sosa, formerly of the Cubs, said one time as he sought a contract for a larger salary, "It's not about the money." Okay, Sammy, for him it may well be about image. Sammy needs to project the image that he is the top man. Is he so wrong? Would we do it differently? Wouldn't we like to have that choice? We see the posturing of self-importance in every community. Some people just seem to have a need to see themselves as better than others. And here Lieutenant Glinowitz comes to mind. Maybe we all have a bit of that in us. Let me be clear that this is not self-esteem I'm talking about. This is being snobbish without substance. In the gospel, Jesus contrasts the people who are snobs to a poor widow, a person at the bottom of society. When she walked down the street, nobody made way for her. No one greeted her with respect, and no one tried to be noticed by her. Yet Jesus loved her. She had no pretenses. She gave all that she had. She didn't call attention to it. She probably wished she had more to give. USA Today devoted several pages to a feature called "Everyone Wants to Be a Millionaire." One article noted that USA Today in 1 year carried 694 stories in which the term millionaire appears. One expert observer says, the problem is that people tend to compare themselves to the wealthy in unrealistic ways. The idea that you're a failure if you're not a millionaire is fairly pervasive. One of the many benefits of being a part of the church is that we are helped to keep our balance about what is important. While there are always some people who object to the call for committed stewardship, the giving of oneself and one's money to God's work, it does keep us from being totally out of whack about what is important in life. What Jesus wants for us is a balanced life that takes its lead from the one who knows what the good life is really all about. To lead the good life, the fulfilled life, the worthwhile life is not the easy way. It is especially hard when generosity and moral living are not the norm. The Barna Group completed a survey about generosity. Surprisingly, at the bottom of the list of generous givers are the Roman Catholic Church, the Episcopal Church, and the Lutheran Church. This might indicate the pressures in our society to hold on to our possessions rather than giving to build assets in society. What do we see in the gospel to help us find our balance? What do we see that is destructive to balance? What do we see that is hurtful to the balance or welfare of others? I think Jesus takes offense at those who elevate themselves above others for the sake of power. Those who take advantage of the poor and those who use religion or religious piety to impress others. There's more to those religious pretenders than what's written in the scriptures. It was not uncommon for those religious leaders to intercede with a widow when a husband died. They would influence the widow, who was not allowed to own property or wealth, and convince her that her best interest lay in giving all of what she had to the temple. And then, of course, because they were part of the temple hierarchy, what anybody in that position gave was divided amongst themselves. This is what Jesus meant when he said they devour homes of widows. They take possession and take the wealth from it, leaving the widow with nothing. What is there then that gives us hope? What does Jesus point to as values? I think he sees humility of oneself, giving from the heart and giving that goes beyond giving from what's left, as essential life values. On the one hand, Jesus sees posturing for image and concern for how others see them. This is what Jesus sees as looking good on the outside but being empty on the inside. It's so incredibly easy to see this in our society. We go to the movies, and the ones portrayed as heroic are often those who are trash-talking, nudity-teasing, and violence-provoking people. These are the ones who look good on the outside, but who are so empty on the inside. Unfortunately, most of us have those same qualities in us. Or we excuse it in others. Or we support it in one way or another. Some of you might recognize the name Harry Oppenheimer. He was the gold and diamond magnate of South Africa who died recently at the age of 91. He's known for originating the slogan, "A diamond is forever." He also gained fame because he spoke out against apartheid. In a speech in 1989, he said, "Disagreeable though it may be, we must admit that the racial policy which has been pursued here over the last 40 years and has made South Africa stink in the nostrils of decent, humane people around the world." But his labor-intensive mines thrived on a migrant labor system that forced black workers to live apart from their families, and his companies paid black workers far less than whites. His economic success was considered crucial to the survival of the apartheid government, which survived until 1994. It's duplicity. It's looking good on the outside, but far from pure on the inside. It's this kind of pretense that Jesus wants us to recognize and work to overcome. One of the most significant points of this gospel is that Jesus respected the woman who gave out of her poverty. We can all do that. But what does it mean to give that way? In a sense, Jesus is describing himself. He gave out of his poverty. What he gave was himself. He gave every bit of himself in his life and in his death. He gave out of his poverty. So what? Some people say. He was God. I'm not God. I'm just trying to make it. It seems strange to say give out of your poverty. The poverty Jesus talks about is a poverty that always puts God's will first. That's the ultimate poverty out of which we can all give all to God. If we can understand this and live it, it makes the giving of ourselves and what we have so much easier. We will give because in our hearts we love God and appreciate all that God has done for us. It is that kind of giving through the church that does the work of the kingdom. But even more important, it's the kind of giving that makes each of us a better person. It's that kind of giving that puts us more in tune with the incredible giving of Jesus. Jesus gave all of himself that we might have all of God's grace. I often tell couples that I counsel before their wedding that part of the wedding celebration is about looking good. But that marriage is about living together good. Being a part of the church is not about looking good. It's about living in the good that God gives us. May we be blessed by the hearing of this word. Amen.